It's Jefferson Graham. You are listening to the iPhone Photo Show, and today we're going to talk about camera settings in the camera app. There are many, many settings that are really great for pro quality work and are turned off by default when you get the phone. And I just want to make sure that everybody listening today turns these ones on. And it begins by going to settings, scrolling all the way down to the camera app, and then opening it up. And at the top, you're going to see, what do we got here? We have three video settings. And, I really want to focus on stills today, but as long as we're talking video, I would recommend shooting at 30 frames per second at either 1080 or 4K, depending on how much room you have on your phone. I like the higher resolution, but that's up to you. For slow-mo, I like 1080 at 120 frames, because 240 frames is just too slow. For when they offer me the ability to shoot cinematic in either 4K or 1080, I'm for 4K, that's me. Cinematic, of course, is like portrait mode, blurred background. And then we get to formats, and this is important. Now, many people recommend using Apple's, not proprietary, but their alternative to JPEG, which is called HEIF, and that is half the file size for what Apple says is similar quality. I prefer shooting in JPEG because websites like WordPress and Pinterest and others don't accept the other format, and it just is a pain in the butt for many people. Underneath the formats, you have photo mode, which is on the newer iPhones, and they let you choose 12 megapixel or 24 megapixel for your file size, and I'm going for the bigger file size. That's me. Very important, if you want to shoot in RAW, which is the uncompressed and more information, higher resolution photo, you have to put on this button. You have to click on the button and make sure it's green for Pro RAW and resolution control. Very important. You're not shooting RAW unless you go into the camera app and do this. And then Pro Default, which is on the 15, they let you do Pro RAW at 12 megapixel or 48 megapixel. I'm going for 48. Also, if you just want to do JPEG at its maximum, that would be 48 megapixel. You choose that there as well. Do know that the file size is pretty dang big, 75 megabytes for a Pro RAW file and 10 megabytes for a JPEG at 48 megapixel compared to about 3 megabytes. So there's a lot there. Underneath this section in formats, if you do want to shoot ProRes, which is the higher resolution video format, you need to click that on. We'll go back to other settings here. We have record stereo sound, irrelevant to photos, but yes, and then use volume up for burst. This is really good. The iPhone can stop action, and pretty well. It's pretty surprising for a mobile phone camera. It does a really good job. You can either put your finger on the shutter and slide it, and that's okay, or you can hold down the left top volume button and do burst mode really well, but you can't do that unless you click the button here. So you definitely want to hit that. Underneath that one is scan QR codes for anybody who has gone to a restaurant recently and needs to scan the menu. That's the only way you'll be able to do it. Show detected text shows up in searches, so that's really good. And then these ones are vital. I don't understand why Apple doesn't have these as default, but actually I don't get why they turn them off, because you all want to use them. Every iPhone user wants to use them. First, we put a grid onto the screen, and you have to see little squares in your image. Makes it a whole lot easier to compose and a lot more professional. Then you have the leveler. This is new in iOS 17. So many people have had trouble, myself included, with horizon lines. You're taking a picture of the water, and it's a little twisted. It's a little bit off. Now you have a leveler, and the leveler shows you where the horizon is right on. So you definitely want to turn that button on. Underneath that one, I'm going to leave this one off, which is called mirror front camera. If you turn it on and you take a selfie in front of text that's behind you, the text will be backward. If you leave it off, the text will be right side. So I leave that off. And then you have view outside the frame, which is interesting. Underneath that is photographic styles. It's Apple's sort of like filters. It gives you different looks. The looks are standard and rich contrast and vibrant and warm and cool. You can do all that in editing afterwards. I don't like to have myself locked in. Underneath that, main camera. This is for the 15 Pro editions. You can choose whether your main camera is going to be 24 millimeter, 28, or 35 millimeter. My choice is 24. I like having the wider. I just like having the wider wider camera. And if I want to change that when I'm doing the picture, I can put my finger on the 1X and have it increase to 28 or 35. Portraits in photo mode comes next, and that is where the iPhone camera will automatically do portrait mode, blur the background if it notes that you're taking a picture of a person, dog, or cat. And that's fine. Why not? Why not have that ability, right? You can still do portrait mode the old-fashioned way and shift from photo to portrait mode, but this just makes it a little cooler. Next is prioritize faster shooting to intelligently adapt image quality when rapidly pressing the shutter. Why not, right? Lens correction will correct the lens distortion on the front and ultra-wide cameras. Yes, please. Macro control will show the camera control for automatically switching to the ultra-wide camera to capture macro photos and videos. In other words, when you're doing a macro shot and you get in close, a little yellow flower will appear on the screen to let you know you're shooting in macro. And I think that's pretty cool. Let's talk about preserve settings. All of these are turned off when you get the phone, so you definitely want to turn these ones on. Camera mode, preserve the last mode, such as video, rather than automatically reset to photo. Duh. It shouldn't always default to the photo mode if you shoot in live photos and you want to keep on shooting live photos. This lets you shoot live photos without having to go set it up again. So I really like that. Creative control will preserve the last filter, aspect ratio, or light setting. This is big for me because aspect ratio, I like to shoot in 16:9, even though the default is 4:3. 16:9 looks great on an iPhone screen. And because I'm video first, I produce an episode. I produce the PhotoWalks TV video show. I need 16:9 pictures. I don't like having to shoot in 16:9 and then go back and then have to set it up again. I want to always be 16:9. So that's creative control. Depth control will preserve the depth setting for photo, portrait, and cinematic modes rather than automatically reset. Thank you. Macro control will preserve the auto macro setting rather than automatically using the ultra-wide camera to capture macro photos and videos. And I think that's great. Exposure adjustment. Okay, so you've set it up and you're down by one. You're down by one f-stop. And then you turn around and you do something else. And then you close the app and then you open it up again. Now you don't have to reset the exposure. Night mode will preserve the night mode setting rather than automatically reset it to auto. Thank you, because I always take it off auto. Portrait zoom will preserve the portrait mode zoom rather than automatically reset to the default camera. Yes. Action mode will preserve the action mode setting rather than automatically reset to action mode. Obviously, I like that. Pro RAW will keep it on instead of turning it off. ProRes will keep it on without turning it off. And Live Photo will keep it on without turning it off. Those are the settings. Everybody listening right now should make sure that they have those settings on. Now, beyond the settings, I am recording this on Black Friday. And if you're listening to the iPhone Photo Show on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, or Monday of the Thanksgiving holiday, well, Apple's having a sale. Apple never has a sale except for Black Friday. The prices are the prices, and that's what they are. So if you're interested in a new iPad, if you're interested in a new MacBook, if you're interested in a new iPhone, you might want to consider stopping into the store or shopping at Apple.com during their sale because you will save money. You're not getting a price discount on the device. What you're getting is a gift card that you can spend on other Apple products. And that's fine because anybody listening to the show at some point is going to be buying an Apple product. I just have this feeling. So let's start with the iPhone. These are not great discounts. You can't get a discount on the iPhone 15 Pro or Pro Max, which would be the phones that I believe most people listening would want to go out and buy. The phones that they are offering, I don't think you're going to care about. Let's start with the iPhone. You're not going to be able to get a $75 gift card for the iPhone 15 Pro or Pro Max, the phone that I believe most listeners would be interested in. You're going to get variable gift cards. You'll get $75 off the iPhone 14. You'll get $50 off the iPhone 13 and a puny $25 off the SE, which is the entry-level phone. The SE has one lens. The 13 and the 14 have two. And of course, the 15 Pro Max have three, as does the Pro. So I would pretty much skip out on these guys. And if you can, and you need a new iPhone, I would get a used iPhone 14 Pro Max or a 13 Pro Max. So there goes the iPhone. For the entry-level MacBook Air 13-inch, you get a $150 gift card, which is pretty cool. That computer starts at $1,000. For the MacBook Air 13-inch, you get a $175 gift card. And for the 15-inch MacBook Air, you get $200 off. The 15-inch is $1,300. The 13-inch is $1,100. And again, the entry-level Air 13 is $1,000. For the Mac Mini, you get a $100 gift card, and that little computer starts at $600. That's what's going on there. For the iPad, you get up to a $100 gift card. You get $100 off the iPad Pro, which starts at $800. You get $75 off the iPad Air, which starts at $600. You get $50 off the 10th generation iPad, which starts at $449. And you get $50 off the iPad Mini, which starts at $500. So if you get $50 off the 10th generation iPad, which brings it down to basically $400, remember that you can still buy the 9th generation iPad for $329. The difference is you get USB-C on the 10th generation. You get a larger screen, and that's basically it. Depends on what you need in your iPad. I would spring for the 9th generation iPad for $329 because it's still a great bargain. Apple Watch, you'll get $50 off the Series 9, which sells for $400, or the SE, which sells for $250. And for the AirPods, you get $50 off. The Pro sells for $249, and the third generation is $169, so that's a pretty good deal, $25 off. And from there, the HomePod, the speaker, the answer to Amazon's Echo speakers that not a lot of people use, $299, so you get $50 off that. And $25 off the Apple TV. You got a few more things here. For the Magic Keyboard, you get $50 off. The Magic Keyboard is $300. So any discount on the Magic Keyboard is welcome. For the Pencil, you get $25 off. That sells for $129. For a lower-priced Magic Keyboard, it sells for $249. You get $50 off. So that is the Apple sale. If you wanted to get some new Apple products, this would be the time to do it because they're not going to discount any other time until 2024, till Black Friday. Though the best deals to me would be for the MacBooks. The iPhones really are irrelevant at this point. I would buy a used one. And pretty much that's my take. What's your take? I'm Jefferson Graham. You've been listening to the iPhone Photo Show. Don't forget to change all your camera settings as soon as possible because you'll be getting better shots. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next week.